Welcome to our podcast for Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, from Knox United Church, Nepean. We're pleased that you can join us. I hope that you have a copy of the order of service in front of you. That will allow you to participate by responding in the appropriate places and singing along with the hymns, all of which are printed in the order. If you don't have an order of service and would like to get one in the future, please contact the church and we will add you to our email list so that you can get these a few days ahead of time. To contact the church, you can email our office at office@knoxnepean.ca, or you can telephone and leave a message, 613-829-2266. We'd be very happy to provide you with this information. Another thing you get with the printed bulletin is the good news and any prayer requests that have been included. We don't tend to share the information on the web because it's a little too public, but there are a couple of items of good news there, including a birthday announcement. So have a look at that and be celebratory. Joining us for the podcast this week is Barb Healy. She's here in the capacity of our soloist, and she will also be helping us with the rest of the service. Welcome, Barb, and thank you for being here. These being the announcements and the good news, let us prepare ourselves for worship. Call to worship is responsive and it's printed in your order of service. In a diverse world, we are pulled in many directions.
God calls us to love, to truth, to hope.
We want to be faithful, to be steadfast.
At the same time, God's love calls us to be respectful.
Let us answer God's call with love of our own,
knowing what we believe and respecting all people.
Our opening prayer is a unison prayer, also printed in the bulletin. Let us pray together. Living and gracious God, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have brought us out to a spacious place where we are called to live as those redeemed. Empower us by your Spirit to keep your commandments, that we may show forth your love with gentle word and reverent deed to all your people. Amen. Our first hymn is found in Voices United at number 339 and is also printed in your order, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Responsive psalm for today is Psalm number 66, reading verses 8 to 20. This can be found in Voices United, number 784, parts 2 and 3, and it can also be found printed on your bulletin. We'll be singing the second refrain. Allison will play it through once, and then we will rehearse it before we begin. Bless our God, all peoples, and let the sound of praise be heard.
God has preserved us among the living and kept our feet from stumbling.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You led us into the desert. You laid a burden upon our back.
You let sickness furrow our brow. We passed through fire and water.
But you brought us out to a land of plenty.
God of all, to you we raise this our song of joyful praise.
I will come to your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows.
The vows which I made with my lips and swore with my mouth when I was in trouble.
I will offer fat beasts in sacrifice, a savory offering of rams.
I will prepare you an offering of bulls and goats.
God of all, to you we raise this our song of joyful praise.
Come then and listen, all you that fear God, while I tell what God has done for me.
I cried aloud to God. High praise was ready on my tongue.
If I cherished evil in my heart, God would not have heard me.
But truly God has heard me, has given heed to the voice of my prayer.
Blessed are you, O God, for you have not rejected my prayer.
Nor withdrawn from me your steadfast love.
God of all, to you we raise this our song of joyful praise.
Our first lesson for this service is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, reading from chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Hear the word of God. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. For since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things, from one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Here ends our first lesson.
I've got peace.
The second reading is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Thus ends the second lesson.
Recently in a sermon, I made passing reference to the exclusive claims that Christianity sometimes makes to having the truth. Now, we're not the only religion that does this, but in our own context, it's challenging in an age that claims to be tolerant and wants all religious faiths to get along with each other. That's why I find this week's reading from Acts to be so very helpful in establishing a good attitude. Paul addresses the Athenians in the Areopagus, by invitation, it should be noted. Earlier, he had been debating with Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, and they wanted to hear him in the traditional place where new ideas were presented and debated in Athens. Paul was no stranger to the Greek pantheon of gods and goddesses. He came from Tarsus, and Tarsus was the capital of a province in what is now Turkey. It had a pagan temple that was huge and quite famous in the Roman Empire. So when he went to Athens, it wasn't like he was coming as a wide-eyed tourist, or for that matter, even a naive monotheistic Jew facing all the idols for the first time. They bothered him, but he was accustomed to rubbing elbows with pagans, and he already knew how to live and let live. He was quite sophisticated. And what he did was clever, really sort of funny. You know that God that you worship is unknown? Well, let me introduce you. And you can see what he thinks about religions in general in his very words. I would put it as, all religion is a response to God. People reaching out for the one who made them. And Paul isn't being totally exclusive either. He isn't insisting on having the exclusive path to salvation. He acknowledges that some of this reaching, this groping, does succeed in connecting people to God. But his words also reveal that strong perspective shared by Jews, Christians, and Muslims, a rejection of idols. He didn't condemn them quite as clearly as happens in Hebrew scriptures. But remember that the Hebrew scriptures were aimed at the Hebrews, and the laws of Moses simply forbade idols. They weren't allowed to have them at all. And so in the scriptures, they're being ordered to behave. But in Athens, Paul is not speaking to Jews, he's speaking to Gentiles. They were not bound by Mosaic law. Idols were not banned for them. So Paul had to be persuasive. He was not in any position to give orders. Rather, he made the point that I touched on a couple of weeks ago. The gods and the goddesses who were represented by so many of the idols were very much like flawed human beings writ large, like superheroes who were often jealous and unfaithful and petty, self-centered and often prone to violence. They were far from perfect. And so Paul contrasted all of that with the Jewish vision of a transcendent God, one for whom no mere image would ever be enough, one who is the source of everything, who needs nothing from us humans, but who still chooses to love us and engage with us. This God who chooses to relate to us. Paul concluded with what we might find to be sort of a startling point, but you know, it reveals Paul's motivation for his tireless travels and evangelistic work. His conviction The judgment day was imminent. Paul's vision of judgment day doesn't contain a lot of detail, but what he says really is quite reassuring. First, the judgment would be righteous. Now, this is an important point. The image of righteousness in the Bible is quite clear. Righteous people love justice. They don't show any preference for the rich and the powerful. They're charitable to the poor. They ensure that nobody starves or freezes. In other words, the righteous of the scriptures love their neighbors. They have the best interests of the community in mind. They're not self-centered or unfair in their dealings. Now, to be judged by this standard may not be easy for everyone, but it's also a far cry from sending somebody to hell just because they believed in false gods. Paul wasn't actually asking people to change their faith. Paul was asking them to change their ways. The second point Paul makes is that Jesus is to be the judge, appointed to that position by God. This is also reassuring. Consider, the Athenians were accustomed to gods who were quite callous toward humans. We were like playthings to the gods, like dolls maybe, or pawns on a chessboard. And Paul had just presented a vision of God that could have made God seem even more remote and scarier, less sympathetic. You know, this totally self-sufficient creator who has no need for us, as Paul said. What do we have to offer? What do we have to bargain with? But with Jesus as judge, that's not an issue. Jesus is human, with his own experience of human life. Now, to be fair, there are lots of humans I wouldn't want judging me. But consider what people expected in the first century. Compared to the pagan gods, or compared to the prospect of an all-powerful but maybe remote creator who is so amazing as to be almost unknowable, well, Jesus instantly makes a very reassuring candidate. So what does all of this say to us today in the 21st century? I mean, we know that Judgment Day didn't happen 2,000 years ago, but we also know that we will each face a time when we leave this life, and it will be fair at that time to ask what kind of a life we've lived. It's also a concern as we live in a world that still has very many faiths, probably more than in those days. And to think that if some versions of Christianity are correct, then most people are condemned to eternal suffering just for believing the wrong things. But Paul's words change that. His words to the Athenians give us a very different picture. He understands that all religion is a response to God, and that all people are groping towards a better understanding of the source of all life and all good. And Paul makes it clear that God cares less about the brand of your faith and more about how you live. Are you righteous? Do you make ethical choices? Do you treat others as you would wish to be treated? Do you avoid selfishness? Do you care for others? Do you work for a world where everyone is respected and loved? Those are all parts of Jesus' teachings. They're part of what Paul sees as the issues on Judgment Day. Those are the things we should be concerned with. And, like Paul, we shouldn't be shy about sharing our faith, even in a multi-faith world. Not because we're out to convert people, but because what we believe really is good news. God, who is creator of all things, who doesn't need us, still loves us and wants a relationship with us. God isn't out to get us. God isn't judgmental and nasty. In fact, God gave Jesus the job of connecting us even better with our Creator and teaching us better how to live the kinds of lives that reflect God's values. That is good news, and it should help us in this multi-faith world to live lives that every religion will recognize as good. Amen. Our next hymn is actually found in more voices this time. Number 48, I Can Feel You Near Me, God. It's also sometimes known as Jump for Joy. And I'm not going to restrict anybody who wants to jump while singing this. So on your feet and get ready. Let us now bring to God our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, and we will conclude this with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have a much better sense of how human life has unfolded over the centuries. We try to put ourselves in the shoes of people living back in Jesus' time, in Paul's time, and we really have to use our imaginations. But you saw it. Help us to understand what was going on then and figure out how to take what we were given then and apply it now. We thank you for this world that's so diverse, with so many different people, so many different understandings and different ideas. We thank you that you have given us an image of how to go forward. In Jesus, you have shown us how to live well, how to live in ways that express your love very concretely, bringing help to others, keeping each other safe, bringing joy, bringing justice, bringing your hope wherever we can. And we thank you that you've made us active in this. You've given us a role to play, because we know that you are amazing and really don't need our help. And yet you've chosen to involve us. You've embraced us. You've encouraged us. We thank you for that wonderful gift. Help us to be helpers, to bring healing and love everywhere. Help us to keep in mind the needs of the people around us. And as we go forward into the time when some of the restrictions are lifted on our activities during COVID-19, help us to not simply rush blindly forward, but to keep the needs of the people around us, as well as our own safety, clear in our minds. Make us wise, even while we're feeling joyful at new opportunities, so that we will be able to come back to that place where we can be physically together. Help us, as we are still apart right now, help us to feel connected, because spiritually we are very much connected, not just with each other right now, but also with all of your people down through the ages, even with those people whose lives were so different in some ways and so similar in others. Help us to feel that connection that you provide through your Spirit. Build us up. Give us the courage that we need to live the kinds of lives and to go forward in the kinds of ways that will allow others to look at us and to see your values at play, to see in our lives your love, your justice, your peace, your creative power. Eternal God, we lift up in prayer all of those who are excelling in the different ways that they offer help to others, the people who have difficult jobs on the front lines. Help them, we pray. Keep them safe. Keep them healthy. We pray for all of those who are struggling with loneliness, who are struggling with being apart, who are discouraged. We ask that your love would continue to touch them and lift them up too. Gracious God, in our hearts and in our minds, we have others that we know specifically and personally, and we're worried about them. We have things that we want to ask you. And so, in this moment of silence, we lift up the prayers of our hearts to you. We thank you, God, for we know that you hear our every prayer. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, who lived among us, who knows our world and our lives, and who taught us to pray together in these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is also from More Voices, number 145, Draw the Circle Wide. It's printed in your bulletin, and we invite everyone to sing along.
Still, let this be our song.
Go now in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you, this day and forevermore. Thank you.